Heavenly Father, thank the Lord for the day and for life and health and strength, for your love towards us, for your long suffering towards us, for another day of life. And I pray, O Lord, for all those that aren't here, for Pat and Steve, for Will, for Colin, for Lord, for all those that have sat and said, and I pray, Lord, that you would restore the fellowship and to the service. And I pray for those that don't yet know you, Lord, for the leaflets that have gone out, the Bibles and the words. Please, I pray, use them to speak to souls, Lord. Waken them in the middle of the night, and everything else is of absolutely no use to them, and reason with them in their souls, but it's in judgment. Please restore the backslider. Please, Lord, edify the saints. Please save the lost. We love you and praise you. Pray it'd be one of our number this evening. And just thank you for the freedoms that we still have. I pray you, Lord, even now, that you would work in the hearts and minds of those that walk the corridors of power. That you would give them a great fear of sin and judgment to come, of the shadows, Lord, of their decisions. And I pray, Lord, you would break them and point them to the foot of the cross. We love you and praise you. We leave these things at your feet, Lord. And we ask for these and for our private prayer requests. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's take our big hymn book stand. It's big hymn book night tonight. We'll start at 283. 283, and in any room for Jesus. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Amen. of the righteous judgment of God, and they have been counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which they also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, and the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to the glorious, to be glorified in the saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that your God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of this goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified to you in you, and may in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You wouldn't think I read that 3 times, did you?
Happens. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Does anybody have anything you want to add to any of our prayer lists or prayer requests?
I pray that my leg is better.
Please pray for Norman's leg. It's not behaving itself, and I really would appreciate some prayers for him. I'm not going to give any of the details, but he's going to necessitate another trip to the hospital, so please do pray about that. Please remember Steve as well. Steve has been moved to ward 44, and he's in an open ward with 3 other blokes, so that'll give him something to talk about. He's still quite weak. His walking is not good at all, and he has a fair bit of a way to go yet. He has to be able to, I think, be able to walk and sort of semi-look after himself before they let him home. And he has lost a lot of his strength because of the time that he has been ill, so please do pray for Steve and for Pat as well. She is, I joke with Pat, what was it Steve said? Pat, you're my carer. She said, but I've been your carer for the past 15 years and I haven't gotten a holiday. That's what she used to say, right? And I joked with her today, well, it looks like you're getting all your holidays in the one lump now, Pat. But Pat's in good form. She was talking about possibly joining us on Sunday morning. Please do pray for her. Pray for Will. Pray for Colin. Pray for work at the house, work at the church car, Norman's car as well. Don't forget to pray for Frank. He is getting ready to be scheduled for surgery on his mouth. Please do pray about that as well. There's a lot going on. Just keep your wits about you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep reading the Bible and saying your prayers. I know it seems very simple, but the recipe for peaceful life is very simple. It's all the complicated stuff that makes life troublesome. So please do pray for each other. I think that's about that. Don't forget Monica's mom. I appreciate your prayers. I'm actually feeling an awful lot better this past day or two. The side has been bothering me a little bit, but it's not stopping me today. So please do pray about that. And I appreciate your prayer. I think that's about that. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Lord, this is the shopping part of the church service, and I pray, please, that you would grant our prayer requests for Frank, for Mary Ann, for Christine, for Will, for Pat and Steve, for Norman, for Lynn, for Monica, for myself. For all of those, Lord, that love you, that are listening to you, are doing what you would have them to do. I pray that you would bless, Lord, and strengthen and provision. Pray for Norman's hospital visit next day or two for the car. I pray, Lord, for the church car, that it would get sorted out tomorrow. I pray you too, Lord, for Pat, for strength and recuperation, and Steve, Lord, for his recovery. I pray, Lord, most importantly, for your Lord to be there. So much going on, Father. I pray that you would continue to constrain our leaders and bless those that are prepared to stand and preach the full counsel of your word. I pray especially for that wee woman, I think it's Isabel, and that other fella, Enoch, as well. For these people, Lord, that have at least put a down payment and paying the price of standing for you. I pray you, Father, please, that you would bless the outreach as it goes on, that you would make a point of driving home the point of the gospel, and that you would save souls even before it's too late. Love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it according to your will, Father. Amen. Right, let's take those big hymn books again. And we will turn to, if I can find it here. Hymn number 234. 234, you're able to stand as we sing, He is so precious to me. 234, He is so precious to me. seated. Thank you very much. I'll stop him there. 361, if you'd like to scoot forward a page or two, 361, if you think to pray. And after that, we will close this book and we will open the good book. 361, we'll just remain seated as we sing. Verse number 1. There's only a handful of verses in this, 18 verses. We're going to read them all this evening. And we're going to spend a minute or two on the subject of what manner of person should I be? What manner is the question that's posed by this portion of God's Word? And it just stuck out to me as I was reading and praying. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, this is what the Word of God says. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is our text. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto you, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Verse number 11 is our text, where the Bible says, this is where the question comes from, what manner of persons ought you to be? Let's just have a quick word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we've set aside. I pray that you would take, and use it, Lord. I pray for the words to speak and for the words that each one of us here needs to hear. Thank you for loving us, Father, and I pray that you would bless whatever preachers would be getting ready or standing up to preach, especially for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Seeley, Lord, for Pastor Bissett, Lord, for all those that generally want to see souls saved, Lord, I pray that you would inspire them to see. Please be one of our number, Father. We love you and thank you. We leave these things at your feet. Amen. Amen. What manner of person should... Well, sometimes when you read these things in the Bible, we read it and we fail to make it personal. One of the things that helped me when I started reading out was a ministerial student saying to me, read the Bible like it is God himself talking to you, because that's exactly what it is. Now, as we read this portion of God's Word, we get almost a potted history of the beginning of the world and the end of the world and everything in between. And the Lord talks round about verse number 5 and 6 about the creation of the world and the global flood. As we go on to verse 7, we hear about the judgment of God. Literally, in three verses, God inspired Peter to write about the beginning of the world and the end of the world. But he says that's not all that he says. He says there's an in-between bit. And that bit is where we live. Maybe not the whole way through it, although it would be interesting to live for about 6,000 years. I'm sure you would gain a lot of wisdom. But there's a bit in there in which we need to get things right with God. He says, things are going to happen. One of the things that you need to understand will be the sign of those things going to happen, or a rock that's setting in, and the judgment that's going to come to the face of this world is quite literally written there in verses number 3 and 4, where it talks about people being scoffers and mockers of those that are good. In other words, people that, husbands and wives that love each other and love their family and want to work for and provide for their family, those are good things. Those is one of the cornerstones of society. Family. We want to think about as well people scoffing at the King James Bible and the preaching of the full counsel of God's word. And that's another one of the cornerstones of society, is the gospel preaching. We have as well our own governments, the people that are running the country, supposed to be another cornerstone of our society, that do their best to penalise people doing the right thing. Joe Public is forced to hop through hoops, and yet people that do nothing, or even worse, criminals, are given everything on a plate. And people think this is normal. God said, you watch out for that. He said way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 5, and even a little bit in Isaiah 6, he said, woe unto you that call evil good and good evil. And there used to be one or two people. I even remember whenever I was little, there was one, perhaps two families out of 36 families, 30, maybe 33 families, in the one class that I was in, that had a bit of trouble. There was maybe a bit of drink on the go, or the child wasn't turned out properly of a morning, not fed and not dressed and maybe not washed. And there were one or two, but now it's everywhere. It's common, it's acceptable, it's desirable. We live in these days when you stand up and say, look, I think you ought to go out and actually work for a living. Do something, make yourself productive, look after yourself instead of depending on everybody else to do it. That's what a wean does. And people will make fun of you. We see that happening, and that is actually happening. We also see you get a wee bit of an insight into the mind of the soul that lives like that. Because God said that judgment was coming. But a lot of people said, where is it? Where is judgment? For our fathers and our grandfathers have stepped off into eternity, and there's been no God that's come back to tell us what's right and wrong. There's been no God to come back and punish us for all the things that we have done wrong. And people literally think that there are no consequences for their actions. But there are. I don't know if anybody here ever remembers the wee man that used to, I would always see him down by the old Waterside Railway Station, and he had the sandwich board on. And it said, the end of the world is nigh. I don't know, you might have seen people running around with those sandwich boards. And I used to think, you know what, you really should change that to the end of your world is nigh. Because you and I never know the day or the hour, nor even the moment or the second, when we will step off this mortal coil into eternity. And that's when grace finishes, and that's when judgment starts. Because everybody else might not see it, but the person that steps off into eternity will experience it firsthand. for the saved soul, it's to a judgment of your works. For a lost soul, it's the judgment of your eternity. And I wouldn't want that for any lost soul, which is why we should be a different preacher. But anyway, we're look on at Peter here. Bible says the world was judged by water back in the day, but it's going to be judged by fire. And he mentions that a few times. And as you skip on to the end of Revelation chapter 20, you actually get an account of the judgment of the entire world with fire. And then there's a new heavens and a new earth. Because none of us have ever seen Jesus at any time, or God, I certainly have experienced his peace and his providence and his hand on me and his hand in my life many, many times. A lot of people think that this stuff doesn't matter. I have a couple of wee verses. There was one where the Lord said, "Don't you be thinking that I am come to do away with the law and the prophets." You know where it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? I haven't come to do away with that. I have come to be the fulfillment, the final payment for that, as far as God is concerned. As far as your eternity is concerned, if you do something wrong and break the law in this world, you're going to suffer the consequences of your action in this world. And if you don't, they will certainly catch up with you in the next world. But all of God's commandments are in full power in this world, and unless you repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, you will never pay for them. And people think, but that's a dusty old book. That doesn't apply to today because we're so advanced. Those heathens, they used to worship idols. They used to not bother going to church. They used to burn their children in fire pits for prosperity. When you stop and think for a moment, you realize there's not one bit of difference between them and us. Do you know in the past few years, a number of times I've seen a Hindu or Buddhist idol sit in somebody's garden, putting a leaf within the door? Home Base and B&Q and garden centers have fully convinced people, sensible people in a Christian country, that it is acceptable to put an idol up in their garden. I'm going to tell you something. I saw those idols up everywhere in Sri Lanka. Those are worship. Those are false gods worshipped by idolaters. God said, "A day with me is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is just like a day to me." It doesn't matter that I made a promise in the Word of God 6,000 years ago. It's still valid today. About 4,500 years ago, give or take, God said to Abraham, he says, "All the families of the earth will be blessed in your descendants." And we are through Christ Jesus. And God continued to work through the Jewish people. He also said, "Anyone that curses you, I will curse. And anyone that blesses you, I will bless." That has never been rescinded. That has never been stopped. God has never repented of that promise. And we see the difference it makes in the countries that have set their face against the Jewish people for whatever reason. We see the difference that makes. God is faithful, and the words that were written that applied to us 6,000 years ago still apply to us today. God's first commandment to the whole of mankind was to go and multiply and replenish the earth and fill it. That has never been turned back on. We can't obviously not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because that tree ain't here anymore. But the 10 commandments, the other 600 commandments, they still apply, and all that they do is mark us as guilty sinners in need of a great Savior. And the thing about it is, the day that we need that great Savior is not the day that we stand in front of Him. We need Him now. We need Him every day. I would hate to live in this world as a lost man. The amount of things people put themselves through because they're kicking, as the Lord said to Paul, because they're kicking against the pricks. They're going against everything that's sensible and safe and healthy and good for you. and they just want to eat them. All the nonsense and drivel and dross of the world. Anyway, God said, the end of your world is going to come an awful lot more suddenly than you think. I remember reading years and years and years ago, and the sad thing is I am now old enough to be able to remember years and years and years ago, about an old lumberjack back in the day. I don't know if you've ever seen these huge big bandsaws. Maybe the saw blade's maybe 15 or 20 foot long and it's joined, and the thing just spins round. A couple of big pulleys, and they put the, just push the tree trunks through it, and it can saw out, well, planks of wood, maybe 3 or 4 inches thick and maybe 2 foot wide. And one of these men that worked as a lumberjack in the sawmill, if that's the right kind of phrase, he was challenged by a preacher to get right with God and to start living as a Christian. The man said, I only need 10 minutes before I die. That's all I need to get saved and get right with God. And then the story goes that one day he was working at the sawmill and he got pulled into the saw, the bandsaw. Those things can cut a 2 or 3 foot thick log with ease. They're going to have no trouble with a person who didn't even get 10 seconds. You never know, and that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now, what does it say? We'll come to that. Yeah, we're looking for heaven. And I am thankful that the Lord is long-suffering to us, because if he only gave us one chance, none of us would be sitting here. It's 2:15. I want to put these few thoughts across your... Shoot these few thoughts across your bar. We live in the days when, as a newspaper heading summed it up quite succinctly, says technology will save us. We believe that people, yeah, just to show you how well that's working for us, I don't remember the last time anybody packed a lorry from their couch working a computer, or painted a house, or built a house, or shifted one of the old hods of bricks from their couch. But anyway, we literally do live in changeable days. And even many Christians believe that we need to move with the times. That we need to accept homosexuality. Because it's not sodomy, it's homosexuality. It's an acceptable alternative lifestyle. We need to accept the ritual sacrifice of our children in abortion clinics for prosperity for the parties involved. We need to sleep in on a Sunday morning right the way through until 12 or 1 o'clock to when the shop's open, because we've been working hard all week and Saturday is our family day. So we need to rest on the Lord's day, and that means rest even from church. The unfortunate thing is that human nature hasn't changed, it doesn't change, and it never will change. We are a broken creature in need of a Savior that will fix us. And there are some things, the aim of everybody is, I would say, contentment. An end to the great appetite that not having Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit as your helper and guide, and God and Father as your confidant, we need to have, and we look at what the Bible says is acceptable and unacceptable behavior. How would you know a Christian in this world? Just by watching them. How would you know a lost man? Just by watching them. It should have an effect on us. Spiritually speaking, Jesus said that whenever you get saved, your feet are lifted off a broad road that leads to destruction, and they're set on a straight and a narrow road that leads to life. In other words, it's quite narrow. It's quite restricting. There's only so many things you can do on it or carry on it, the rest of which are not about. This was mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, bearing in mind that the first letter of Paul to the church of Corinth was a letter of correction and rebuke. And this is what Paul said. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, people living in sin, idolaters, people worshiping idols, adulterers, working on breaking up marriage, nor effeminate, that is, homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind," that probably covers every other form of sexual immorality, "nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners." None of these folks are going to heaven. And the good thing about all of that is that Paul finishes off that little bit of scripture by saying, "And such were some of you." The only get-out clause is that you're washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. In other words, there is a difference. But what exactly is the difference? Great little verses in Galatians 5, and they're well worth looking at. There's 7 or 8 verses, well worth looking at, and even well worth committing to memory, or at least knowing where they are. And this is what Paul said to the church of Galatia. Just so you can tell the difference between people that see it and people that's not. People that's not going to make it to heaven, and the people that are having a different spirit and a different boss and a different eternity. This is what Paul said. "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, lusting after sin, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings," that's like partying and getting out of control, "and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The next few verses are for us. The fruit of the Spirit, in other words, this is what having the Holy Spirit indwelling you and feeding the new man instead of the old man, the fruit of the Spirit is love. In other words, you can love. You can, and that doesn't mean you go all googly eye. That means you do the right thing for the best for the person. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance. I've got those mixed up a bit. Against such there is no law. "They that are Christ's crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." In other words, being saved and going to heaven should be walking a different path, the straight and the narrow path. Now, Old Testament gives us the commandments and the law. I reckon we could probably get all 10 commandments if we put our minds to it. The first two is to do with worshiping idols, not setting up anything in the heavens above or the earth beneath or the waters beneath the earth or whatever like that. And no other gods but God, not killing, not lying, not committing adultery, not taking the Lord's name in vain, making sure that you get out to church on the Sabbath, and honouring your mother and father. Is that the more? I think that's pretty much the more, in a very shortened version. You look at the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you will get page after page of what God says you should and you shouldn't be doing. This is what the Bible says at the very, very end, as far as getting into heaven goes. Now, this is after fire has come down from, this is after the 7 years of tribulation, great tribulation. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is after the final battle the devil tries to win one last time, and being the worst of losers, take as many people as with him as possible to hell with him. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. This is going to happen. And he said to me, It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh the world, the flesh, and the devil, to get saved, that's in my brackets, shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the whoremongers, and murderers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, they shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is a difference. And we have been given, as Christians, as children of God, have been given a unique perspective. We have been given a glimpse into what it's really going to be like. And we have been given the opportunity to look at the Bible, to look at ourselves, and to see if there's any bits that need to be fixed. I've heard sometimes God is very, very gracious. And he will quite literally put his hand on you and heal you of the thing. Bad language. Smoking. Cursing. Any number of things. God can quite literally put his hand upon you and take those things away from you. Hatred. Anger. Sometimes, however, God says, I wouldn't like you to be perfect and show everybody else up, so I am going to be there every day for you, and I am going to hold your hand every day and put my arm under your arm and around your shoulder every day. I am going to give you the strength to withstand things that come your way, to withstand your old habits, to bust them and to make new habits. One way or another, God will help you. God will help you. Because where are we passing through? We're strangers in a strange land. We look for a new country wherein dwelleth righteousness. This new Jerusalem. I could tell you what, there's a lot of things that go on in this world that anger me. Even as I look at, and I get a bit of a kick out of watching detective shows, those that we can watch. And I have been saying to Monica, the people that are put up as the people to emulate have become more rebellious and immoral and foul-mouthed and obstreperous. And I find myself rooting for some of the bad guys sometimes who are literally doing the right thing. But they, anyway, that's a personal gripe of mine. We have been given, through God's word, a look into the future. And God has quite literally said, you know what? You're going to be standing in heaven today. Is there anything you wish you hadn't done today or anything you wish you had done today? And God says, those are the things you should be stopping. And those are the things you should be starting. What manner of person ought you to be? If you were to stand in heaven today, and I hope you're not, because I hope to see you again as the week goes on. If you were to stand in heaven today, if you were to stand in heaven tomorrow, what sort of person would you be for the rest of today? We have been given so much by a God that loves us much more than we will ever understand. Because we have a job wading through the filth and the mire and the obtuseness and the rank stupidity of so much in this world. And we need every single bit of it. But Norman's the fisherman. Can I ask you a question, Norman? When you see guys wading in the river fishing, the most important piece of clothing they have on is what?
Waders.
They're waders. Because you know what that enables them to do? Do you know what waders are then? Do you know Wellington boots? These are Wellington boots that go up to your chest. That's what waders are. Sometimes men, if they're only up to their knees, they'll maybe wear them up to their waist. But these can come right up to your chest. In other words, you can be, not a good idea, but you can be standing in water up to your chest, throwing a line out in the deeper parts of the water. Just bear in mind that every 3 foot coming at you is equivalent of a metric ton of water. But that's who we are. We are fishermen in waders in this huge, sometimes murky stream, trying to catch the odd fish out of it. If you ever saw a fisherman walking in there without protection, you would say, is there something wrong with you? You do know that whenever you step into that water up to your waist, you will be freezing cold no matter what the day is. You will get hypothermia and maybe even die from that before you get home, even on a bright summer's day. And God says exactly the same thing to us. He says, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, they're there to protect you, to save you, and to keep you from cold, whatever else might fancy a wee nibble off of you in that water. It's there to protect you as you wade through all the muck and filth that the world will throw at you. So take and use them, and don't be like everybody else. Have you any idea of how many Christians, if God, whenever he comes back for us, if God looked at his children and found them doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and just, instead of looking into their heart, he just looked at the surface and said, they obviously don't belong to me, they're out drinking. Well, they obviously don't belong to me, they're out partying. Well, they obviously don't belong to me because they're not even reading the King James Bible. I'm just going to leave them. At the risk of sounding on something silly, how do you make life's God's life difficult come the rapture? We used to say sometimes the rapture might have to come twice for some so-called Christians. They're holding on to so much stuff in this world. The first one might not get them all the way up to heaven. That's just Mark talking, being a bit cynical. But we should be different. I know we've all come face to face with lost folks in our lives. And they maybe anger us and frustrate us. And we see the way their lives are going, but I'll tell you one thing right now. I wouldn't want to be them for all the tea in China. I wouldn't want to be them. But I also remember the words of Paul to the church at Corinth. We were like that too before Jesus saved us. So some of the songs that we sang today were quite apt about rescue the perishing. We were saved out of the world just to go back into it again, this time with waders on. Keeping the rest of that muck and stuff off of us whilst we do God's work in the world. We ought to love lost souls. We ought definitely ought to love the brethren. We ought to keep short accounts with God, and the things that bother us we really ought to talk to God about and look for his help with. Whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, mental, whatever it is, financial, we ought to talk to God about it. Because he loves us so much. And he wants the best for us. He just wants. In fact, what does he say? In verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And this promise is about salvation.
But he's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. And you know what? He invites us to join, as that business still takes place. If there's a way that you can do it, you will get such a thrill and such a kick out of it. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. There you go. I think we have one or two songs just left with the corners in the page dog here, so we'll sing one of those. Hymn number 327. We'll stand if you're able to sing higher. 327. 327. Let's stand and sing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Well, it's not about a time that we set aside. I pray, Lord, that just being away from the world, the flesh and the devil, even just for this hour, would be enough to give us pause for thought. Bless us as we go, Lord. Please answer our private prayer requests. Please be with those that are sick and not here. And Lord, most importantly, we pray for your word to be done. Love you and praise you. Thank you, Father. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.